Hey people, before we get started this week, we wanted to share some clips of our sister show, Rise of the Demigods, for those of you who have yet to check it out. Rise takes place in the God's Fall universe, and while it informs much of God's Fall, it does not contain spoilers and is a complete story on its own. In Rise, you'll meet colorful NPCs like Slugs, the demigod of spiders.
Slugs, have you ever been in love?
Oh, well, love is a difficult thing. Love can come to you at night. And embrace you. And then you won't know it until the next day. But that was love.
No, I think that was actually a spider.
Rise features an amazing cast of queer players from Chicago that don't hold back when I'm on my usual bullshit.
I have a direwolf that is an animal companion from being a ranger, and I have Guiding Bolt. Those are pretty cut and dry.
Listeners won't have a lot of connection to this, but I want to fill you in some behind the scenes. Right before we recorded this, Aram was getting on me of how I could possibly make a bone float. I asked if that would be within the range of my character, and Aram said, "What the fuck, you stupid idiot? Why would a bone float? How could you, the demigod of bones, make a bone float?" And I'm having to sit here in real life playing this game of Dungeons & Dragons as he tells me this girl uses her potions to talk magic to wood and make it change form. And how would I make a bone float?
To talk magic to
That's
wood.
Fucking crazy talk!
100 years ago, young demigods were brought to the Temple of Udea to learn how to control their divinity and about their place in the world. Some of the fellow players' students, like Malvorn, the demigod of victory, readily embraced their new power.
Look, everyone loses sometimes. But it matters if you win in the end.
And what's the end goal for you?
This? Being the best student. Being the best demigod. Having the biggest church.
That's not what I thought you were going to say.
Having those worshippers. Taking over a country, perhaps.
So you have goals.
We all have goals. Mm. I have ambition.
Do you realize that, like, 7 of your sentences start with "we all"?
I do try to include the lesser people.
Wow. And scene.
So join the cast Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Central on twitch.tv/godsfall or check out Rise of the Demigods on your favorite podcast app. My name is Aram. My pronouns are he, him, and welcome to God's Fall.
My name is Matt. My pronouns are he, him, and I'm playing a level 1 character.
When we last left Sigma, he had been born into his divinity amongst the Sun Elves in their desert oasis. His memories were fractured, but he soon realized what he was. A mind flayer. And a hungry one at that. And she sees his eyes. And she searches them. And then her eyes go wide. And tears just roll down her cheeks. And she falls to her knees in front of you, and her hands are trembling and they kind of grasp at your legs, and she's apologizing in Elven. She's saying she didn't know, she's so sorry, and how much she missed seeing you. Because in your eyes, because he's still there, she saw him, and that was enough.
Rise, my knight.
She rises.
We must make sure that no one knows this is our secret home. No one yet knows of the Sun Elves. What we must do is find an outpost, the ruins of Sephor, the Temple of Sephor. Myself and several scouts will go there. I will send several on to the nearest town. But another thing I need is I need...
Knowledge.
I can feed on knowledge. I will send kidnappers to Capenia to bring me back someone wise.
Viadoid needs sons and daughters.
We need to build an army. We need to be more. I will ride to the ruins of the Temple of Sephor. I will set up a fortification there, and we will from there launch raids against
those false magicians, the elves of Lake Sivan. We'll be right back.
I would say at this point, she's been listening to everything you've said. She's been staring directly in the eye. And Azari is coming up on her right. And her eyes dart to him as he walks up. So his arms are wide, like, are you ready, my lord? I'm glad that this has been solved. You notice that Asonia's hand shifts and she has a dagger in her hand and her eyes are staring at
Detect thoughts.
Azari. Her thoughts are, the first thing I need to do is dispatch this fool fully in service to you. She is 100% loyal. You can see the loyalty. And the very first thing she thinks she needs to do to serve you is kill Azari.
I want to stay her hand.
No. And her eyes dart back up to yours, and she nods, doesn't even question it, and just puts her knife back. Azari doesn't even notice it.
Good.
How may we serve you, my lord? I am so glad we are on the same table again. And Sonya just nods.
We will carry with us the weapons we might need in order to make war against these elves. And while we may be few, we need to go to the ruins of Sephor again to fortify this as an outpost. No one can know where the birthing tree is. We will go there. We will bring packs. We will bring tools, things that we need. We may launch raids against the nearby town of
Abasti.
Against Abasti, we will bring beasts of burden back.
Calgun will know that the true keepers of the ancient forest have stepped out of exile.
And those who stand in our way make themselves enemies of the Sun Elves.
And they're very on board for that, especially Asonia. She's super on board for that. She realizes in her mind that she has made a terrible mistake, that you are exactly who you say you are, and she should have supported you all along. That's how she feels. She made a 100% turn right there.
Converted.
So they all go about doing this, what you asked. Now, this is a very different atmosphere right away. You converted all these people in an instant. In one perfect moment, you converted everyone. You have abilities and advantages you don't quite know about yet, but that helped. But yeah, you convert everybody. So you've got a church full of people, basically a church community loyal to you. They have now begun to gather supplies. The supplies consist of what they can do is that they have 24 scouts right now.
Oh, I thought they were only 12.
Well, they're only 12. I mean, only 12 are going to, well, some are going to come, some aren't. And here's why. They need them.
Right.
They need them to constantly guard and protect the community.
And to bring stuff in from the desert.
Yeah. And it's not like they're 24 of like, you know, veterans, right? Mm-hmm. There's like 10 veterans and then some youngsters that are like, you know, on the mid level. Mm-hmm. And then some people who are just training up. Right. So you're going to take, you know, the 10 elite with you on this trip. They've got these giant hyenas that they tame and ride. They will be your beast of burden. They're not quite pack animals, so you can't hold that much. It's basically you, the gear you need to survive, and the weapons you're going to bring with you.
Right. I was going to bring explorers packs, at least some tools. You know, water, food, barrels of water, or clay jugs,
probably not,
I guess.
Barrels. I would say you guys would ride with water skins that you would fill periodically from either wells and oases that they're familiar with, or from like cutting down certain plants and knowing that they have water pitchers inside them, that kind of thing.
Right. But before we do any of this, because before we can...
Because water's heavy.
Because I've only been, you know, awake or alive for an
this
hour.
This is just the plan.
Right. So what I want to do is we're going to take the next few months and we're going to train. We're going to take these scouts and turn them into maybe not veterans, but we will train harder with.
Oh, sure. I mean, elves take a long time to consider veteran status. So 3 months isn't going to cut it. Like 30 years,
like
right?
Like you were saying earlier, I mean, they only have to rest for 4 hours.
Yeah. What they need is for you to train with the veterans because you need to learn how to ride, survive in the desert. You know, they basically are like, they
need a montage.
Yeah, that's what you need. But you need the desert training dune montage because while they believe you're God, they're also practical and they recognize that your body is mortal, right? And that it needs to survive. And so this is how you're going to survive in the desert. And they make you like a special outfit and robes where you can like, you know, protect your tentacles and all that if you have to, right?
Right. And I mean, during the time that it's going to take in order to prep up for this, I do have to feed on them. Once every 2 weeks.
That is a thing. So I'm going to say that, but also you've expressed the desire. You know, you don't want to eat all of them.
I don't.
There's 120 of them.
I want to eat.
If you eat every 2 weeks, right? If you eat every 2 weeks, then that means that you would need to consume 26 of them every year.
Okay, that's not too bad.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's eating way through the birth rate of this community.
Yes.
You
and
would
I need
decimate
the, I want
them.
The birth rate to skyrocket.
Yeah. And I don't care how much you're going to sell godhood, that rate of consumption is too terrifying.
I know,
for them to even... So,
yes.
I would assume, and also, you were selling them on the idea that you need more knowledge.
Yeah, I'm going to buy... I want to kidnap the nearest cities of librarians. If we need to, we will buy slaves from Abasti.
Right.
And another thing that I want to make clear, and I've mentioned it to you before, but the whole eternal life thing.
Yes.
I know that I can turn in, Sigma can turn into any creature that he eats the mind of. In front of sun elves, I will only transform into other sun elves.
Right.
That is what the eternal life thing is. I will not turn into anything else that
you
I eat
could,
the mind. I could.
But you're going to hold up this, this idea that eternal life is just for the
sun
elves.
Just for them. Just for them. I can eat whoever.
Devious.
I can eat whoever. I gain sustenance from that. But only the sun elves get the eternal life.
Right. I gain. They're just food.
Right.
You are wisdom.
You are eternal.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
And again, I want to sell them on, you know, we're born of the same tree. We come from the same.
And you are, technically.
Yeah, we are born the same. Yes.
Okay. All right. So then I would say during those months of training, you get enough experience down to ride and, you know, find shelter and set up your little tent and all that. Although they do it all for you, but you at least know how to do it in case you got lost or something, right?
I will do it myself. I mean, they do it. That's fine. But I mean,
you're one of them. Right?
I know how to do it.
Right. Sure.
Guys.
Okay. Fair. All right. You set up your own tent then. All right. Excellent. And you practice until you're ready to go. They also collect supplies for you. And I would say they send out raiding parties to capture humanoids to bring you back food. Let's see if they're successful. The first three are successful. The first one brings you back a raider, just another bandit. They basically found a bandit party and managed to ambush them. And so you're brought back this kind of like relatively ignorant, mean-spirited, you know, young man. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There is no ceremony for food.
No.
No. Only ceremony for when I have to eat a sun elf.
Part of your chamber has been set up, right? This little side chamber has been set up where there's no furniture in it. It's just this room where you pull back a curtain and then it's fully enclosed. And inside this room is just in the center of it, an iron ring set into the floor so that you will come back and in this place will be a bound and chained and blindfolded person on their knees with their hands chained to this ring.
Mm-hmm.
That is what you will find when you are to be fed.
Okay.
So you find this young, kind of dirty, long-haired, scraggly beard bandit who is covered in sweat and a little banged up.
What land do you come from? Where do you hail?
They are blindfolded and gagged. Oh, it doesn't matter because you're talking into their brain.
Into their mind, right.
Right, right. So, yeah, that's scary. They're trying to speak because even though you're in their head, they're trying to talk back. So they don't understand any other way to communicate. So they're trying to speak, but they can't. But in their brain, you're seeing images of this land further north where like along the coast, it gets a little green. It's not just desert. There are fishing communities up there. And this group of young men, you know, decided that there weren't enough opportunities and decided to go raiding south where they knew there were many riches being moved. It's kind of a death wish, but young people are stupid.
Banditry.
Right? Yeah. So they were bandits in a land where it's really dangerous to be a bandit, but, gold is tempting.
Okay. I simply say to him, as I am positioning myself and I'm clenching the jaw muscle to bring out the beak.
Sure.
I say
there's like a little ivory pitcher. You're just kind of washing off the, you know,
oh,
the
yeah,
grime
I wash
from
the
them.
Food.
Yeah.
Oh, right. That's... Give him a shampoo. I don't want lice in my beak.
Just the way you'd wash lettuce, you know?
Yeah. Okay, I'm into it.
I'm sorry to say you have failed your people. You were unable to stop Sigma.
And then I'm going to eat his brain.
his spine snaps, and you remove the brain from him and consume his light.
Which is juice!
Which is not as bright as the other two lights you consumed. There's like maps and knowledge of the shores up there, fishing, some interesting life skills the elves you know don't have because there's no point.
This is an interesting loot roll. Instead of rolling for actual loot, I'm like, what do they know?
Yeah,
what
memories
can I get? That's fun. Yeah.
And then some like, you know, a lot of childhood trauma, and that's pretty much it.
Okay, I don't engage with that creature.
Imagine your mind palace right now as these inner rings. And they're just kind of like, you know, things appear like a bed or a picture frame may appear. So like the illusion of a room, some like, you know, there may be a couple of paintings hanging in nothing. There may be a rug laid out on this empty nothingness. And so the illusions of rooms are being built around scenes you're having with people. But for the most part, if you look at it from top down, it's just these inner rings with a representation of you at the center where it's brightest and then dimmer light as it goes out. Enid and Oris are on these bright inner rings. The closest ones to you, they're the most accessible. And this one you've just consumed is now fading along those other rings.
If I was going to describe my mind palace, I might describe it as... Okay, I'm going to try to describe it as the sweeping camera would kind of swoosh in on this bird's eye view and kind of zoom out from this gigantic maze of incomplete thoughts, dead ends, strange masonry, and incomplete or not really understandable geometry. So if you're familiar with Relea from H.P. Lovecraft's Call of Cthulhu, that's kind of the flavor that I'm going with here. It is a labyrinth mess that I'm letting these souls kind of, that I don't care about, just wander around. When I need to, I'll try to summon them back.
Right.
Yeah, so.
They need a place to be.
Right.
So you're putting them in a place.
Just in the labyrinth.
Which kind of underlines this idea that they're still real.
Yeah, they're still somewhere in much like the brain has wrinkles in it. Like imagine those are like channels that they can or lanes or things that they can walk down.
So it's like an endless series of corridors.
Yeah, like a giant. Like if I were to draw you a maze right now,
it's nothing but corridors.
Yes,
until you appear and create a room.
Mm, yes.
So whenever you interact with one of them, a door appears in the corridor and swings open.
And they come in, yes.
And you're in the room waiting.
Yes.
And then you have this scene with them in this room.
Yes.
And then as soon as you leave, they get sent back into this endless corridor world.
Into the maze.
There are no rooms. There are no places for them to gather. There are no
just fantasies of their past life, which will be as memories that I can access in the background. Yes.
Okay, that's good. Do they get to go there too, or only you?
What?
These people. Do they get access to their memories?
Yes.
They would have to.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. They would just project that onto the maze, whatever.
Sure. I see what you're saying. All right. That's also, by the way, what Cylons do.
In Battlestar Galactica, they make a mind maze.
When you get to finally see their ships, they don't really decorate or have anything up or do anything because everywhere they are, they can project something around it. Like, I choose to be in a forest and my entire ship is laid out like this giant forest and I'm just in this forest doing all my forest things, but I'm still making the ship go.
I see.
Right? It's super cool.
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah.
You are seeing what you want to see and you are having all these things prepared for you.
Right. I've eaten now. That's good.
Well, that you've your first meal. So the first 2 weeks you are given this bandit.
Mm-hmm. Delicious.
Now, the second week, 2 weeks, they get a little lucky, and they hit a relatively unguarded dwarven caravan. Clearly, it was meant to be to not gain a lot of attention, but it had a lot of things on it, including someone was collecting taxes. So in this one box, there's 500 gold. In this other tax box, there's several thousand in rubies and diamonds and other small gems. The tax collector that was taken has some signs of a lesser royal nobility in Capenia. Obviously, the office that they're holding, you know, is part of the royal lineage. You have to be trusted to collect the taxes. So in addition to this money that you've collected, you've also collected this gentleman. And you've collected one magical item. All right, roll.
It's pretty rare in the God's Fall universe to get a magical item.
Yeah, this is very, very rare. They're unbelievably rare, so this is going to be fun for you. I would like you to roll This is about right. Roll roll D100.
All right, 25.
25. Okay. So I want you to roll a second one as well.
59.
Okay. So the first thing you open up, there's another locked box that was kind of set under the thing, but fortunately the elves are clever and found it. So the taxes weren't hidden. They were just on the floor in locked boxes. This box was actually hidden. And inside this box were two compartments, and the first one contained a potion. And this potion had a viscous is when it moves quickly. A really thick, syrupy, kind of like dull gray liquid inside it. Like when you looked at it the first time, it looked almost like cement, mm-hmm. right? And that's what's inside that one, okay?
Gross.
And the second one, you said 59?
Yes.
Okay, okay. So there is a multicolored bag. So there's these two compartments, and one compartment has an empty bag. And it is all these different, it's almost very similar to the sails, where it's all these different kind of fabrics sewn together to form this, like a bag that would go over your shoulder
okay.
and be about the size of this like dice satchel. Tray. Yeah.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to eat the brain of okay. this guy
yeah,
to find 100%. Out what these are. That's yep. what that's what my version of identifies.
Yeah, he's already been in your, he's already chained in your little Dexter kill room.
You have failed your people. You have failed to stop Sigma.
And I will eat his brain.
Like how you taunt them. Imagine like your little tentacles kind right. of like grasping the side
they
of his face.
They don't know who yeah, I am. They right. don't know anything about this. They were just kidnapped right. off the road.
You failed.
Eat his brain.
Yep.
Is this, do I dare hope, a bag of holding?
Yes, it is a bag of holding. It is a bag of holding and is a potion of resistance.
Mm-hmm. And how much did I get in taxes?
You got 500 in gold and like another 2,500 in precious gems.
Bag of holding. And a potion of resistance. Do I know what it resists?
It is defense against necrotic damage.
Huh.
It's like this thick gray sludge, but there are bones in it. Like once in a while, a bone comes to the surface against the glass and can be seen.
I kind of eye it suspiciously with a raised eyebrow and yeah. kind of my questing tentacles reach out to the bottle, and I almost want to tuck it away in my tentacle mm-hmm. face, but that's a little too Davy Jones.
Yeah, there's
so
this...
I won't do that.
But whatever,
I'll put it in my robes.
Energy, it like you can feel that it is a block against this energy, but there's also trace amounts of that energy that dance on the surface because it needs to know what mm-hmm. to be against,
yeah,
right?
Antibodies.
You don't like that energy. That whatever that necrotic energy is, you've never felt that before, and you've never known anything like that, and you really, really dislike that. There's almost an allergic reaction to that.
Mm. I'll keep it in my robes here because I know it's a block against that kind of...
Right, it would protect you against it.
Right.
But even the thought of consuming it to save you against something that awful is distasteful. That's how unpleasant this is for you.
Maybe I'll give it to a minion or something.
No, you could still use it. It would just be great. It'd be like if you had to, like I don't want to die from this poison,
oh,
but
yeah,
I have to swallow... you know, like bath water. I have to drink like bath water from
the scum from the shower curtain.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, cool. And got the taxes, bag of holding. Very good. Multicolored bag. Oh, that's great. Great first piece of loot.
Bag of holding is the best. I don't care what anyone says. A bag of holding is freaking the best.
Great first piece of loot. Fantastic. Yep. Okay, so.
And that guy used the bag of holding as his tax collection bag because he put the taxes in it. That's what you could see. He had this little colorful bag, and he dresses kind of colorful. It all fits his personality. And as he collected the taxes, he put them into this bag of holding so that they could never be stolen, and he could always keep it safe, and he never, ever, ever lost any taxes.
I want to show that like to the people and be like, behold, these are the treasures of the outside world.
Totally.
This is a sign that we're going to... This is a good thing.
Right. You do this whole like, it's the treasures of the outside world, and then you're basically just like reduced to a magician pulling a 10-foot
right.
pole out of it
look
to show.
Look at this.
Magic. All these colored scarves are flying out of it. All right, excellent. So that goes exceptionally well. So that's the first month. And in this first month, you have also been trained how to ride one of these hyenas. Now, they did not take well to you. Osonia is the one who trains you. And she is the best at riding wargs.
Animal handling, unnatural 20.
The one they pick out for you is slightly larger than the others. So they pick the biggest one out for you because you're bigger than all of them. Mm-hmm. You just are a physically larger creature. You might not weigh that much more, but you're larger. And it does not like you. They take an instant dislike, like, you know, the fur goes up on the back of the neck and it growls and it howls at you. But as it meets your gaze, you feel its mind, and its mind is so weak, right? It's just so small, like this huge, passive, terrifying creature. Yeah, and you can just be like, you can just push it down. It literally drops to the ground, it rolls its head on the side and is whimpering. It rolls over, not playfully.
No.
Out of fear. Legs are trembling.
Once it shows me its belly, I'm going to keep it there for maybe 30 seconds or so. And then I'm going to have it roll back over again. And then...
Who do you look like right now?
Sigma.
Okay, excellent.
Disgusting mind flayer critter.
Right? Yeah. It, as soon as it flips back over, it crawls over to you, its head down, and it kind of like very, very gently... You know, like offers the top of its head and is whimpering.
I want to turn into Oris because he was, you said, lieutenant of one of the scouts.
Totally.
So, yeah, he knows how to ride these creatures anyway.
Yes.
Maybe his muscle memory will help. Maybe this creature would recognize Oris anyway.
Help.
But I do want to subdue the creature as Sigma, then turn into Oris and be like, cool.
All right. So let's go. So you hop on. So you have Oris's dexterity right now and strength, which would be, so his strength is 14, mm-hmm. his dexterity is 17, mm-hmm. and his constitution is 14.
Mm-hmm. So pretty good those, for level one character for me right now.
Feeling pretty nice. Because all of your points are in all the mind stuff.
Yeah.
That works out quite well for you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I sent you the video of myself rolling.
Oh, yeah.
Wisdom and charisma, both 18s.
It's where they really did work out quite well. Did you add the bonus points you get?
Yes. Okay, good. Those are with racial bonuses.
Excellent. Perfect. Yeah, that works out perfect. And now you also have a 14 strength and a 17 dex and a 14 con. So, yeah.
Mind flare flex.
And you have total domination over this creature. So I would like you to roll the rest of your animal handlings with advantage. So first she trains you to ride. Mm. So roll with advantage.
All right. 19 plus 4, so 23.
Okay, so you avatar this. You're like
I'm surfing the hyena as a squid monster.
Right. You actually do show off a bit, right? And you're kind of and so you're riding with your sister wearing her brother's flesh, and
we're having fun.
Yeah, and she part of the reason why decided to follow you and completely turned around is because she saw her brother in you, and spending more time with her brother does bring her joy. Also, because again, you're just a big empty sack. Being her brother gives you joy. Being with her gives you joy. These are feelings that were. I guess as a mind flayer, you would think they were lesser. Like, these are the feelings that... This is what the lower beings get, right?
These little, are the mortals.
These little thrills. These are what they get in since they don't have what we have, right? Because you're... The ecstasy you feel is from consuming a brain of exquisite taste, right?
Yes. That's ecstasy. Connection through just telepathy. Right. These lower base instincts, they're the same things that animals have.
Correct.
I mean, however, the hyenas feel this.
Yeah, absolutely. This is what the animals are.
This is what it is to be an animal.
And
you're
thinking that, like, as you're riding the creature, like this creature that bears me, this creature whose now entire existence is only to be my servant. That I literally ride upon. Part of your intellect is like they're the same. Like this elf and this creature are the same. But you're also now her brother, and you don't have these holes filled up. They're just empty. All of you is empty, and it's starting to be filled with the experiences that they're having and their emotions and their feelings that are being replaced with yours. And this joy is pretty intoxicating.
Okay, cool. I don't want that to take me over.
Sure.
So I feel like every once in a while, I'll turn back into Sigma. I'll turn back into Oris.
Yeah.
I'll rotate between the two.
You're making it clear that you're wearing these things when needed. These are tools you are using, or maybe you just choose to walk around all day today like this, but there's obviously this, you're keeping this clear idea in your mind.
Yeah, it's like if you were to change clothes and your clothes made you feel a certain way, right. You wouldn't wear that same shirt every day.
Right.
Lest you never want to wash it.
Yeah. You're the Swiss Army knife of people. You pull out the ones you need at the time.
Not the ones, right. That's right.
Right.
Your tools.
All right. So that goes fantastically. Riding goes great. The next lesson is combat. And she teaches you how to mainly, you know, how to defend yourself. Not so much like, you know, a full on charge or all that, but mainly like, you know, if you get attacked on it, how you control the creature, how you ride away, how you make sharp turns, how you can defend with one arm while holding reins, that kind of thing. So roll me again an animal handling with advantage.
Oh, that is not too good. That is 8 plus 4 is 12.
Okay, so it's tougher. It's a little harder. You're not used to riding. I mean, the riding part is one thing.
Holding the sword with my tentacles in my face. So yeah. I hold a sword in each hand and then one in my tentacles.
Right.
Like,
right. Exactly.
Three.
Just like, yeah, it's a lot, right? You're trying to hold the reins at the same time. It's like you just can't get the right, you know, you can't connect and you keep missing. And you haven't, like, you don't fall, you don't break anything, right? But you just, it doesn't go as well as you hoped it would.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, all in all, the first day, I would say, is pretty... Well, the first week, I would say, is pretty solid. Let's do the next week.
Okay.
Give me another roll for riding. So I think you pretty much got down, but let's see how well you do.
Okay, 14.
So you guys just spend this time kind of like doing long distance stuff. It's not really hard. It's just a lot of like, you know, getting the animals used to you, understanding how they feel at the time. Are they overheating? Do they need a rest? Are they ready to go? Are they too rambunctious? Like kind of getting the idea of how the animals are going to work out in the sands.
Yes.
And then we're going to do combat once more, where she actually brings up another one of the scouts to do some battle with you.
Okay.
Let's see how you do.
What am I rolling here?
Just animal handling. I just wanted a general idea. 19. So that means that you do a lot better. There's something about focusing on a person, actually feeling the exhilaration of combat. Yeah, and again, as Oris, like there's muscle memory here, and you know, going, you know, toe to toe with someone, showing your superiority that you're better is friggin' intoxicating. Again, in a way that you didn't know before, and it's something to do with the doubt. With you don't know what the end result is gonna be. It was just kind of assumed. Like not every experiment that the mind flayers came up with would work. But if they planned something, that plan would happen. That's how it was. There wasn't a chance it wouldn't, or it wouldn't get done.
Of course,
they would decide, and it would get done.
That's the certainty of divinity.
Yeah, you don't have that anymore. There's no certainty. And while it's frightening, it's very appealing.
This whole life may be a second chance to attain another level. Great.
Excellent. So that goes great. So your training...
Eat sand.
So your training goes very well. And the gathering of things goes very well. And then your last meal arrives during the ceremony. So they're doing a ceremony to see you all off. As soon as it hits dark, as soon as the sun sets, you all will start. You'll travel during the night, and you will rest during the day, since all of you are vulnerable to sunlight, illithid and elven both.
Yes.
And the first goal...
Sephor.
Yeah, fucking Sephor.
Fucking Sephor.
I mean, everyone feels that way. No one's like, God, I miss Sephor.
That false god.
Well, some people are. There's actually a cult of Sephor that still exists. So there are people that miss him.
Well, I publicly declared earlier in my speech, we declare ourselves the enemies of those deities.
I think that's fair.
Sun of the god of order, will,
those are the
magic.
Ones who cursed you. Yep.
Yes. So even, and okay, so let's make that clear too. So I know that I'm not the only Arisen, because that was told to me in episode in the last one.
Yep.
So whoever, I will keep these contentions alive. So a little meta there. Sigma doesn't know if,
That's okay.
Sigma doesn't know if those feuds and alliances still exist. But they do to him. Whoever is reincarnated as the god of the sun.
My enemy.
Whoever's reincarnated as Yeah, Atunia, the goddess of magic, Baros, order, and who was Will one more time?
Radia. Yeah.
And are there any more? No, Sephor, Radia, Baros, and Atunia.
Yep.
They are the enemy of my people,
yep.
And when I find them, they will be punished.
Yep.
Hopefully, Ayus is still our ally. We are the secret sons and... What did I write earlier?
Secret sons of the moon, I think?
The secret sons and daughters of the moon's favor.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, perfect. That all seems logical. I mean, the racial memory within these elves of... What, and many and honestly, Enid lived through the entire thing. Many of these elves have lived through the entire thing. I mean, it only happened 120 years ago, and elves have long lives. So, yeah, they remember what was done to them. They remember being transformed. They were other, and these gods cursed them and changed their flesh and cast them out of their ancestral homes, all for trying to make things even. Because the dwarves were cruel and awful to all the other people, to the elves, to the humans, to everybody. They treated them terribly because they had all the power. And as long as things were in order for the gods didn't care. The gods didn't care what the dwarves did to everyone else. And so they just used them. So the elves were just making everything even. And for it, they got punished horribly.
All will be made right.
And you feel that very strongly.
On the journey to the ruins of Sephor, these are things that I will tell myself and try to explore these again and again and again.
As you're like getting ready to go down to the festival, you hear that that a meal has been prepared for you in your chamber by chains clinking around and some muffled yells.
I will actually wait until after the festival to eat.
You start to walk down the ramp and you see that, you know, it is as glorious as the day that you arrived. They have not spared any effort in lights and decorations and food and merriment, and all of them seem as joyful and happy as you've ever seen them.
That was to check to see if my charisma is high enough to try to want to eat them. I'm okay.
Yeah,
I'm right. Okay. I'm a 19.
Right. Oh,
okay.
That looks so good. It is hard.
Because when they gather like this,
yeah.
And I know that they are rejoicing in my ability to lead them, I know that they would easily give up any one of them to eat.
Yep.
And that willingness,
yeah, it's tasty.
Is delicious.
Yep.
So I want that, but
yep.
I refuse. No, I must, like Charlemagne, I'm going to say no for right now, maybe later. I made an Invader Zim reference to Charlemagne. I'm all over the place, guys.
Yep. Right. It all has different flavors too. Like the fear's tasty. Like it's this nice tangy,
it's like
right?
Candy.
You know, but the joy is just this like, it's the most luxurious chocolate. It's the tastiest, warmest caramel. It is just this sweetness that lingers long after the meal, and brings you such joy and such fulfillment. That it's just a layer beyond everything else. But this fear one's pretty damn good too.
Yes.
And it's pretty driving. Like the other, like this luxurious meal kind of puts you in a little bit of comfort. You relax in it. You kind of lean into it. But this bitterness, this fear, that keeps you sharp.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I don't want to be intoxicated, but God.
I mean, you even get it now when you become Enoch. And Enoch. You even get it now when you become Enid. He fully worships you, sees you as the god that you are, and revels in being part of you. Like this is what heaven is.
This is eternal life.
Yeah,
yes.
I live inside a god. This is eternal heaven. It's everything more than I could possibly hoped for.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And gets to then bathe you in this whenever you become them. It's pretty intoxicating. You were walking down to the festival. And it is quite a spectacle. It is as beautiful as when you first arrived. It was the same level of detail. They put out decorations and lights. And before, when it was kind of like, if there was a theme, it could be called just the desert and the plants and the sun. And like, it was definitely it was representative of who they are. There's lots of water and streams and, you know, imagery that would look like that. Now it's been changed a bit. There is a lot of bioluminescent plants being used instead of torchlights, things they would have dug down from deep within this lake. And there's children running with, like, masks they have built, and the masks are little versions of you. They're like tentacles, little tentacles.
Right.
You know?
So as they imitate me, I will turn into Enid, and I'm going to imitate them as well.
Okay, perfect.
And walk among them.
Okay, perfect. So you walk among them as Enid, and you... And they love you. They love Enid. Enid was a beloved member of their clan, and now Enid lives forever. They see that Enid will never die, and that, you know, Enid was getting old. And, you know, walks a little bit of a hunch, was a little bit slower, but you don't. You walk as Enid, but you're as...
Splendid.
Yeah.
As Enid, yes. It is the
revived Enid.
The revived. Enid is forever, yes. Yep. I'm going to roll Constitution to see if I can keep from... overflowing with this self-praise. I mean, I'm surrounded by this.
And also because, like, Enid loves you. Mm-hmm. And you and they love Enid.
Which
and
is
that
really
old,
a feedback loop.
A feedback loop of love.
Okay, so 6 plus 4 is going to be a natural 10.
It is intoxicating. And again, you're not used to these feelings or them being important or even understanding them. And to feel this kind of adoration and to feel community in a very different way than you've ever felt community. Because before it was about just this connection and mutual, you know, knowledge. And
we all shared one mind.
You all shared one. And even though you were young and you were more in a subservient position to the hive, you were still part of the hive. These you were still a god.
These are separate minds coming together. And it's a conflicting... There's no... In trying to feel joy and trying to feel happiness, Sigma is conflicted. There's no, those are the lower base animal emotions.
Sure.
And here I am, I mean, I guess trying to conjure it or feeling it conjured in me. And that, it's so conflicted, it almost frustrates me. So in the middle of this screaming and hooping and hollering and yay, I'm just sinking lower and lower in the chair, like gritting my teeth, trying to understand what exactly, and out of this frustration, I just clap my hands. Enough. We prepare to ride tomorrow.
Okay. And they all stop. And the music kind of, you know, that's like a little record scratch, right?
Right.
And the guards, I assume, just turn and walk towards your chamber.
Right. I don't like harumphal way or anything like that. Enough.
Right.
Good. Great celebration. Bye.
Right. We're done. Get ready for tomorrow. That's what matters. All right, so the guards escort you back to your chamber, open up your curtain to the antechamber, close it. You then step beyond the antechamber, and to the left is this room with its own little curtain that's been set up for you. That's your Dexter kill room.
Right, I know that the wretched creature that will be my meal is here. So I pull aside the curtain as Sigma, and tell me what do I see.
So immediately there's this woman in her early 40s, and she pulls against the chain. She's got flame red hair, and this it's kind of graying at the temples and kind of you know woven back into it, and there's just fear flowing off her. But she doesn't look away. She looks right at you.
She looks right at me.
Yeah,
I'm gonna look right at her too. I almost want to do detect thoughts, but
sure.
I don't. I want her to tell me. I want her to say, I don't want to read her thoughts. I want her to read her thoughts to me. You know what I mean?
Right. You want
to, because so far I go directly to, like, don't even tell me lies. I know what you're thinking, that kind of a thing. No, I want you to. So I level with, I do not level with this food, but I look at this food. I almost do.
Right.
Sigma, confused at this moment, I look at this food in its face, and I gargle forth,
"Why are you afraid of me?"
Do you say it out loud?
Yes.
Okay, so do you know how Illithids speak? Basically, I mean, that's what they... But they can mimic human sounds. They can mimic common and elven and everything, and they can do it by, according to Volos, they put their own tentacle down there. So they jam a tentacle into their own throat and curl it back as a mimicked tongue.
Oh,
so if
amazing.
You want...
Amazing.
So you could speak in this, like, horrid, you know, deep, terrifying speech, but it'll sound, like, common to them.
Okay. I'm going to do that, then.
I'm going to roll... will say. Okay, so she is more frightened, and but is like you know, her jaw is clenched, her eyes are locked open, sweat is beating on her forehead, and she's gagged. Mm. She's not blindfolded, just gagged, and her hands are in front of her, bound to this ring, so she can't move. Mm. But yeah, I mean, there is terror in her eyes, but she still is managing not to look away.
Okay, kind of confused and almost shaking my head, like, why would I even do this experiment in the first place? Cancel this whole thing. I do my routine where I kind of shake my head. I remove the tentacle from down my slimy beak, right, which is gross.
Yeah.
And I just look at her in the face and say,
"You have failed your people. You have failed to stop Sigma."
And then I scratch her scalp with my unhinging jaw and suck out her consciousness.
This show was produced and edited by Dead Ghost Productions. Find out more about us and all the shows we make at deadghostpro.com.